Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph. We're discussing the kinah, the dirge, the lamentation that David said about the death of Shaul and Yehonasan. And Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayomer, and he said, L'lamid b'nei Yehuda koshes. We're now going to have to teach the b'nei Yehuda, those from the tribe of Yehuda, that was his shevet, we're going to have to teach them how to fight with a bow and arrow. It's written in the Sefer HaYoshar, the book of the upright, that this is what will need to be done. We discussed in the previous tape a number of explanations, especially including Rashi's explanation that is referred to in Sefer Bereishis, that Yehuda would be the one to fight with a bow and arrow, and the enemies would fall before him. There are a number of other explanations. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Chof Hei brings another explanation. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, Rabbi Eliezer says, what does it mean it's written in the Sefer HaYosha, the book of the upright, that they'll fight with a bow and arrow? It's a Sefer Mishneh Torah. It's referring to Sefer Devarim. But my Karlai Sefer HaYosha, why is Sefer Devarim called the book of the upright? Because in Sefer Devarim there's a pasuk, and the pasuk says you have to do what's straight and what's good in the eyes of Hashem. So since there's a mitzvah to do what's yosher, what's straight in the eyes of Hashem, the book of Devarim is called the Sefer Yosher, the book of the upright. Where does it say in Devarim that the people of Yehuda would have to fight with a bow and arrow? It says Yodav Ravloi in the Zos HaBracha, that the hands of Yehuda will fight for him. What kind of war needs two hands? If you're holding a sword, one hand does it. If a guy's throwing a spear, it's also one hand. What kind of implement requires two hands in order to use it in war? Heavy armor, zukeshes, it must be a bow. In order to shoot a bow and arrow, you need both hands. So if it says the hands of Yehuda will fight for him, it's a reference to the bow and arrow. The question is, okay, so it says in Sefer Devarim that Yehuda will fight with a bow and arrow, and over here after the death of Shaul and Yehonasan, L'lamed b'nei Yehuda koshes, they'll have to learn how to fight with a bow. The question is, out of all the mitzvahs in Sefer Devarim, it's classified Sefer HaYoshar, the book of the upright, because of this one pasuk. There's a pasuk that says you have to do what's straight in the eyes of Hashem, and therefore Sefer Devarim is called the book of the upright. So Maharsha explains, the idea of Vasisa HaYosha V'atov V'eini Hashem is not a mitzvah like the other mitzvahs of the Torah, which has a certain mitzvah that you have to do. The whole mitzvah of Vasisa HaYosha V'atov is a mitzvah of going Lifni Meshuras Hadin. It's really a whole outlook on all of the mitzvahs. On all of the mitzvahs. The Gemara brings it as examples. For instance, if somebody's selling a property, and he has two buyers who are willing to pay the price. So the din of Dina de Bar Metzra, that if you're selling it, you should sell it to the person. If you're selling a field, and one person has the neighboring property that's bordering on the one that's being sold, you should sell it to the one who has the neighboring property, because it's more valuable to him to have adjoining territory, two pieces of land next to each other. There's a Dina de Bar Metzra. It's based on this idea of doing what's yosher, doing what's straight, what's correct. Even though you might say, why is one more important than the other? Oh, the Gemara applies that if a person owes money and he can't pay it, sometimes his property will be taken by Beis Din and will be given in place of a settlement. They'll place a lien on the property, and to cover the money owed, they'll give the money to the claimant. But if at some point the debtor comes up with the money, really shuma hadra, he should be able to pay up the money at a later date and get back his property, because really he only owes money, and if he didn't have it, so something was taken in exchange for the money. But the idea in Vasisa Yosher V'atov is to go the step beyond, to do Lifni Meshuras Hadin. So since that mitzvah is in Sefer Devarim, and the truth is Sefer Devarim, most of the mitzvahs are mentioned already. Sefer Devarim basically reviews a lot of the mitzvahs and it has a few new ones, but basically what categorizes Sefer Devarim is the Sefer HaYosher, this idea of going lifnei Meshuras Hadin. And the Gemara has another explanation in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chof Hei. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says it's Zeh Sefer Shoftim. And Sefer Shoftim in Navi, it mentions that Yehuda is going to have to learn to fight with a bow and arrow. And it's called Sefer HaYashar because it says, by Yomim Hohem, in those days, Ein Melech Bi Yisrael, there was no king in Klal Yisrael. Ish HaYashar Be'in of Yaseh. Everybody did what was straight in his eyes. So when you hear that expression, everybody did what they thought was right in their eyes, you assume it means it was lawless, you know, everyone did what they wanted. But it's not so. It's Shoftim is called Sefer HaYosher, the book of the upright, because when it said they did what was right in their eyes, it means they did what they really honestly believed was correct, and that's what Hashem would want from them. But since there was no king and everybody did what he felt was the proper way to serve Hashem, was the right thing, so certain incidents happen in Sefer Shoftim that if there would have been a powerful government, if there would have been a king, it would not have occurred. But since everybody was doing what they thought was right, certain things happen. Therefore, Shoftim is called the Sefer HaYosher. And it says over there, Leman Daras Doros B'nei Yisrael Olamda Milchama, that they'll have to learn how to do battle. And again, which type of warfare requires training? Beizoy Milchama Shetricha Limud. It's referring to shooting with a bow and arrow, because I guess throwing a spear or a sword doesn't require the training like archery. So Vayomer Lelamig Bnei Yehuda Koshes, to teach the Bnei Yehuda how to fight with a bow and arrow. Hinei Suval Sefer HaYosher. It's written in the Sefer HaYosher. And the Malbim brings down the pshat. Sefer HaYosher here is referring in general to the Torah. And the Torah in Parshas Kisisa, it says clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should go with them, not just send a malach, he should go with them, v'niflinu ani v'amcha mikol ha'om asher al pnei ha'adama, that it should be noticeable that Klal Yisrael is different than all the nations, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance and hashkocha is with them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised them, Hinei Anochi Koreis Bris, that I'll make a bris with you, and I'll do exactly what you asked, and there'll be clear miracles, and it'll be evident, Neged Kol Amcha Esani Flos, I'll do wonders, Asher Lo Nivru B'chol Ha'aretz V'chol Hagoyim, that weren't seen before. There'll be miraculous events to show that Hashem is with Klal Yisrael, but with a condition. You can't make a treaty with the people living in Eretz Yisrael. You have to keep the Torah. You can't be influenced by all the non-Jews. And if they wouldn't keep the deal, then they'd have to go to war in the normal manner, with warfare. What David was saying now was, there were moments in history where there were miracles and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Klal Yisrael. In Sefer Yoshua, when he fought, it says, Shemesh Begivon Dom, the sun stood still till Yoshua finished the battle. And over there it says, Hinei Suval Sefer HaYosher, it also uses that expression, that it says in the Torah, Hashem would do tremendous miracles. And therefore, when Yoshua fought the enemy, the sun stood still. Now David said, with the fall of Shaul and Yehonah's son, we obviously see that Klal Yisrael is not being Zoicha for this tremendous Siyata Dishmaya to see these miracles. That Shaul and Yehonasan died. Lelamid Bnei Yehuda Koshes. We're now going to have to teach how to fight with weapons. Hinei Ksuval Sefer HaYosher. That's what it says in the Torah. It's like there's three levels. If the worst is Klal Yisrael is defeated and they suffer at the hands of the Goyim. A step better than that is if Klal Yisrael wins the war. But they have to fight in the normal, mundane manner. The ideal situation would be that Klal Yisrael would win without having to fight in a regular battle. There should be miracles. But in Ek Suval, Sefer HaYosher, it's written in the Sefer HaYosher that if Klal Yisrael is not Zaycha, this is the way it'll have to be. They say when the Balfour Declaration was announced, and that the Jews would have a right to go back to Palestine, when the Chofetz Chaim heard about it, he cried, and he said he was hoping the Geula would come with like tremendous miracles, and he sees it's happening like Oni Rochiv Al HaChamor. Like it says, Mashiach can come like a poor man riding a donkey. In other words, like, yeah, it's not. There's a possibility of tremendous miracles, and it's possible that the Goyim get permission to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And he was hoping that would be the Geula shortly, but he cried that it's without the miracles. In Eksuv al Sefer Yosha, that's what it says in the Torah. Hatzvi Yisrael. The Ralbag, by the way, mentions in Eksuv al Sefer HaYosher. You know, we all learn from experience, but the Ralbag says a person should be able to learn from the experiences of what others went through. Shoal was killed. It says that the Morim, the archers, targeted Shoal, and then eventually he took his own life. But he was caught by the Morim, by the archers. So the Ralbag says, it's sort of a lesson. David said, let's learn, if Shoal was defeated by those who knew archery, that's a weapon that we should make a hishtadlus to try to also have that type of weaponry against the enemy. Hatzvi Yisrael, the beauty. Hatzvi is referring to Eretz Yisrael because it's known as the beautiful land that's desired and coveted by all the nations. Hatzvi Yisrael, the beautiful Eretz Yisrael, al bomosecha cholol, on your high places, cholol is now a dead body. The dead people. Eich noflu giborim. How did the mighty fall? On a high place, even if somebody's not so strong, but he has the advantage that he's looking down at the enemy. Al-Bomosecha, on the high places they were killed. And it wasn't just that they were weak. If they would have been weak and they would have been killed on the mountain, that also would have been a disappointment and a bit of a surprise. The Plishtim lived by the seashore. They lived on the coast. And Har HaGilboa, which is where the battle took place, on this mountainous area, meaning the Plishtim had to go up the mountain. Klal Yisrael had the heights. And here that they fell al bomusecha on the high places is a shock. And it's noflu giborim. It wasn't just weak soldiers. These were Shoal and Yehonasan were the mighty ones, and there were other mighty warriors also. And that the army was defeated is a clear sign that HaKadosh Baruch was not helping Klal Yisrael, that he was with the enemy. How did the mighty fall? Some learn pshat, Hatzvi Yisrael is going on Shoal. Hatzvi Yisrael, that Shoal is the beauty of Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael produced such an individual. The beauty of Klal Yisrael, and he had fallen in battle. The Psukim, some of Forshim learn the Lami B'nei Yehuda Koshes is really an introduction to the dirge that's going to follow, to the Kina. That before mourning the loss, he's encouraging the people and he's telling them, don't give up, we'll learn how to fight, we'll learn archery, and then we'll have Siyata Dishmaya. There won't be miracles, but Derech HaTeva with Siyata Dishmaya will be able to persevere over the enemy. In Iksu, I'll say for Yosha that Yehuda will learn how to fight and Klal Yisrael will be victorious. There are those who learn that the Psukim are connected. Lelamid B'nei Yehuda Koshes. To teach B'nai Yehuda how to fight with archery. Because Hatzvi Yisrael al-Bomosecha Cholol. Take a look. The mighty ones fell on the mountains. So in a hand-to-hand, in a combat, we didn't succeed. There's an advantage in archery that somebody who shoots with a bow and arrow can shoot and then can flee. It can go for cover. It can hide. If they learn how to do archery and shoot at a distance, so Lamid B'nai Yehuda Koshes, and they can avoid the skirmish and the hand-to-hand battle that led to the Bomosecha Cholol, to having the people die on the high places. Also, Koshes could mean a totally different explanation, not a bow and arrow. Koshes means, like from the word kosher, to be difficult. L'lamid b'nei Yehuda koshes, to teach b'nei Yehuda about the difficult times that are coming. That is tsar. Not everything is going to go smoothly for Klal Yisrael. Teach them the parsha of the Toichacha, parshas Bechukosai, and parshas Kisavo, where you see that if we don't keep the Torah, there are punishments. So he makes Suval Sefer HaYosher. It's written in the Sefer HaYosher what happens and what the difficult times are that Klal Yisrael is going to go through. The surprise is Hatzvi Yisrael in the beautiful Eretz Yisrael, Abama Secha Cholol, on the high places there are people killed. Eich Naflu Giboyrim. How did the mighty ones fall? Because when you learn through the Teichacha, it doesn't discuss about the kings and the leaders of Klal Yisrael being killed on the battlefront. It discusses the fleeing in battle, the army scatters, but it doesn't discuss like the king of Klal Yisrael. Shaul was the first king of Klal Yisrael and he's killed. That's something even learning through the Teichacha, it's not evident. And Lamed B'nei Yehuda Koshes, to teach B'nei Yehuda Koshes, to teach them how to feel the tsar, how to feel the pain and the worry and the anguish and the depression, to appreciate the loss of what happened. Lamed B'nei Yehuda Koshes, to teach them how to appreciate the difficulty that Klal Yisrael went through. In Eik Suval Sefer HaYoshar, it's written in the Sefer HaYoshar, meaning it's written in the Torah of Va'aftal Eriyacha Kamocha. Rav Arvanel brings that pshat. It's written Va'aftal Eriyacha Kamocha, that you have to empathize, and you have to feel, and you have to join in the pain and the suffering of Klal Yisrael. And now, David is going to mourn both a kina for the general, the nation, and his personal loss. Albomo Secha Cholol, on your high places there are people killed. This is a loss for Klal Yisrael. And Eich Naflu Giborim, how did the mighty ones fall? And we're going to see he's going to focus on Shaul and Yehonasan. Al Tagidu Begas. Don't tell over in Gas what happened. Gas is one of the main cities of the Plishtim. Right? Goliath came from Gas. Goliath, their giant, the one killed by David. Al Tagidu Begas. Don't tell over in Gas what happened. They obviously know they won the war. But could be they don't realize. David received the report that Shaul had killed himself. And that somebody else said that the Ger Amaleki said he also had a part in it. But according to David's report, the Plishtim could be didn't even hear that the king was killed. They know that the battle was won. But could be they don't know what happened to Shaul. So Al Tagidu Begas, make sure not to tell them in Gas what happened. Some learn Al Tagidu Begas, don't tell them over in Gas what we just talked about. That Lalamid B'nei Yehuda Koshes, that we're no longer going to have the miracles, and the fact that the Giboyrim fell, we're going to have to learn regular weaponry like all the other nations, and we're not going to see the Nisim. Al Tagidu Begas, don't tell over in Gas that Klal Yisrael is not going to have these miracles. Al Tevastru B'chutzos Ashkelon, and don't spread the news in the streets and in the marketplaces of Ashkelon, which was another city of the Plishtim. Pentismachna Benos Plishtim, because lest the daughters of the Plishtim have a simcha, have a rejoice. Pentalozna, and they exult, and they have they'll dance from joy. The Benos Ha'arelim, the daughters of the Arelim. Last week, we talked about earlier that Shaul was afraid that if the Plishtim got a hold of him, they would abuse his body and they would cause him suffering. And over there he said, "Pen yavohu arelim ha'ela," lest the arelim, which literally means those who didn't have a bris, those who weren't circumcised, and it's referring to the goyim, but maybe the arelim will come and they'll abuse him. And so one of our listeners pointed out that could be Arelim. He refers to Arelim because Shaul is the one who made the condition with David. That if he brought back the Arlos of the Plishtim, and as he killed 100 Plishtim, he brought back the Arlos that he killed them, then he would be given the king's daughter. So he had sort of he had chepped them and he had put them down and disgraced them as being Arelim, and now he's referring to the fact these Arelim might have used him. At this point, the Mefarshim do make that comment. Pentalozna benoso Arelim, the daughters of the Arelim, that Shoal and David had brought back the Arelim, the Orlos of the Plishtim, now they'll rejoice that they're getting their revenge. The Malbim throughout Tanakh there seems to be two approaches when you have a poetic language in the Nevi'im. The simple explanation of most of the Mefarshim is that the Navi very often is dramatic to drive home a lesson. And he'll use the same idea with different words, but basically it's Kefil Ha'inim B'milim Shonos, as they say. In other words, it's repeating it, redundant in different words to clarify and to emphasize. The Malbim always makes the point of saying how each word it's a different lesson, that one phrase is teaching you something different than the other. It's not just there to be more dramatic or to emphasize it. And here he gives an example. Haggadah al Tagidu means to just tell over something. Not that it should be spread and not that it should be publicized, but you go ahead and you tell somebody something. Al Tavasra, like Vivasilona Besaros Tovos, is somebody's coming and he wants to announce the good news. Ramanovu Alaharim Ragli Mavasar, the feet of the person coming to spread the good news. Mavasar means to spread good news. Simcha is a joy that's internal. You have simcha in your heart. You feel simcha. Talozna is like you feel like you're ready to dance with joy. So he says the expression is al tagidu v'gas. Don't tell it over in gas. In gas they'll have, and then al tavashu b'chutzos Ashkelon, because the news shouldn't be spread out in the streets of Ashkelon, and they're going to publicize it. If you tell it over in gas, pentismachna v'nos plishtim, the daughters of the plishtim will have an inner simcha. They'll have a simcha. But if it's going to then go, which that itself we don't want to happen. We don't want them to have the simcha. And if it's going to be spread out in the streets of Ashkelon, pen talozna v'nos ha'arelim, they'll be dancing in the streets. They'll be talozna. V'oleis is a joy that brings somebody to show it, to party. And they pen talozna v'nos ha'arelim, they shouldn't have that tremendous joy. They would have that joy because Shoal had defeated the Plishtim previously, and the Benos Plishtim won't be sad from being Almanos. Very often their husbands were killed in the battle, and the Benos Arelim is, as we mentioned, that David had cut off the Orlos of the Plishtim, and now the daughters of Arelim would have a joy that they feel they got their revenge. Horei Vagilboa, the mountains of Gilboa, which is where the battle happened. And Rashi seems to say there were a few mountains in this region. It was more than one mountain. But the Horei Vagilboa, the mountains. Al Tal, there shouldn't be dew. Val Mutter, and there shouldn't be rain, Aleichem, on you. Ustay Serumais, and there shouldn't be a field with a choice crop. Or a field that's able to produce enough grain that you would give Truma. Or the Targum mentions that you'd be able to be mafrish chala, you have enough grain that you can make a dough out of it. Or state trumas, there shouldn't be any field that produces any significant produce. Enough that you could be mafrish chala, mafrish truma. The simple meaning is it's almost like a curse. Or this field should totally be a wasteland. It shouldn't grow things. Kisham nigal mugin giborim. Because over there, the shield of the mighty one, Nigal, was, we'll say, repelled. It failed. It didn't serve its purpose. Mogin Shoal b'li Moshiach b'shomen. The shield of Shoal, without being anointed with oil, we'll see what that means in a moment, but on the mountains where the battle failed, these mountains shouldn't produce crops. Just like we're all accustomed, sad to say, but and as long as we're in Golos, we're used to the idea of Tisha B'Av and the certain times of the year. Where a certain time is Mesugal, that's It's a time that's a time of tragedy for Klal Yisrael. The certain times of joy, the times of the calendar affect whether it's good or bad. And so it can be with places. If a tragedy happens in a certain place, it could be that place is just not, it's a place where the tragedy would happen. Klal Yisrael could have been defeated on any place. And the fact that it happened on this Horeba Gilboa, the mountains of Gilboa, is a sign that these mountains are not a good place. Al Talv Al Motar Aleichem, and therefore the dew and the rain shouldn't fall there, who stay trumas and there shouldn't be good crops. This was the place where the blood of Klal Yisrael was spilled and the soldiers were defeated. Some unfortunately say it shouldn't get washed away, like Eov used the expression Eretz al tachasi dami, that the land shouldn't cover over my blood. It shouldn't just be washed away and forgotten. You know, it's the way the Mefarshim discuss it. It's very saddening to think about, but they always have that discussion. You know, with the concentration camps and they make parks there and whatever. And what do you do with that? But that's the sort of that concept. They say, like, in other words, how could you have tal and mutter and crops are going to grow and then people have a tremendous simcha? Imagine you come and they cut the harvest and they see the crops were successful. You know, it's a beautiful, and people have a simcha. This was the place of tragedy. Just like we understand in time, on Tisha B'Av Yekanda is not a time to rejoice. So a place like this place is not one to rejoice. Al talav al matar aleichem, and therefore it shouldn't rain and there shouldn't be dew. I'm not sure where the Horeba Gilboa is, but one of the Mefarshim does make a note that they know where the mountain is nowadays, and it is a very dry area. But there shouldn't be dew or rain. Stay trumas to good fields. Others learn it's like a to me it's like a question. Al talav al matar aleichem. Is there no dew? Is there no rain on you? Ustei trumas is no good field. If there's a good crop and there's rain given, so obviously this is hashkacha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supervising this place. There's a Gemara that says every drop of rain has a malach that tells it to go down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supervising. So how could it be if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach on this place? Kisham nigal mogin giboyrim, and this is the place where the shield of the giboyrim was nigal. What does the word nigal mean? The word nigal comes from the word. Rashi says it's like hagola. We do hagola if you have a utensil that needs to be koshered. If it's treif, whatever, it has to be koshered. So you put it, let's say, in boiling water, and the water expels whatever flavor, whatever was absorbed in the pot, is expelled by the process of Hagolah. Over here, what happened was they had leather shields made out of skin. And they smeared it with oil, so when an arrow or any weapon hit the shield, it would slide right off. Over here, the fact that the army was defeated, Mogen Givoyrim, Mogen Shol B'li Moshiach Bashomen, it was as if the shield of Shol wasn't smeared with oil, and as they were defenseless against the enemy, it was as if all the arrows and all of the weapons hit their target. I mean, Shol killed himself, but it's as if his shield, as if all their defense was powerless. It was as if it was Kisham Nigal Mogen Givoyrim. The shield of the Mighty One had just expelled its oil, and as it rejected whatever coating was placed on it. And the Mogin Shol, the shield of Shol, was as if Balim Moshiach Bashomen, as if it was not smeared with oil, and therefore it didn't repel the enemy's weapons. Also, it could be Mogin Balim Moshiach Bashomen. Some learned that it's almost that when the weapons were used, they didn't need to have oil applied to it. But if you have a tool and it's not being used, then you need to smear oil. You have to put oil on it. It shouldn't get rusty. It shouldn't get ruined. So over here, the leather shields, as long as they were being used in combat, they didn't need to have any special treatment. And the fact that Shol was always fighting for Klal Yisrael, his weapons were Balim Moshiach Bashomen. They were not smeared with oil because he didn't need it, because they were always in use. His weapons were always in use. And over here, Kisham Nigal Mogen Giborim, here was like despised and it was useless. The shield of the mighty, even though Shaul's shield was not smeared with oil, he was always using it in battle, but over here, he failed. It could also be the shield of the mighty is referring to Mugin Shaul, the shield of Shaul, B'li Mashiach B'Shamen. Without viewing the fact that Shaul was a man who was a Mashiach Hashem, not that the weapon was smeared with oil, but his head had oil poured on it. Shaul was the Mashiach Hashem, he was the one who represented Klal Yisrael. But even without that, without looking at his position in the nation, Shaul himself was such a gibor and was such a tzaddik and was so successful till now. And Kisham Nigal, Mogin Giborim, the shield of the mighty was rejected and was no good. The shield of Shaul, who had such qualities without the fact that he was a king. B'li Mashiach B'Shamen. It could be it's connected with the next pasuk. Over there, Kisham Nigal Mogin Giborim, it didn't have to be smeared with oil, because Midam Chalol Michelev Giborim. It was always from the combat, it had whatever, the fact that it was always in combat, it didn't need to have other things smeared on it. It was always, it had the blood and the chalav, the fats from those that he was victorious over, then he didn't need to put anything on his shield. But over here it failed. The Malbim says the pshat is, on the mountains of Gilboa, there shouldn't be dew, and there shouldn't be rain, there shouldn't be good crops. Kisham Nigal Mogin Giborim. Over there, the shield of the mighty was useless. It was repelled. It didn't do its job. What is the shield of the Giborim? For Klal Yisrael, it's not the weapons. It's Mogin Shaul. The shield of Shaul. B'li Mashiach B'Shamen. We're not referring to the shield that gets smeared with oil. We're talking about the zchus of Shaul and his children, that his zchus was able to protect Klal Yisrael. The shield of Klal Yisrael was the Mugin Shaul, the shield of Shaul, not the one that is smeared with oil. We're talking about the shield of his zchusim and his maisim toivim. And that's what didn't help. And therefore, on this mountain, there shouldn't be dew or rain. Like Mogen Avram, there's the protection, the shield. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the shield of Avram. But Mogen doesn't always mean the shield here, it means the protection. Midam Chalolim, from the blood of those that were killed. Mechelev Giborim, the fats of the mighty. Keshes Yehonasan Lo Noso Gochar, the bow of Yehonasan didn't turn back. In other words, it would go and constantly kill more and more of the enemies and protect Klal Yisrael. And it wasn't stopped by the fact that it killed a few, whatever, of the enemy, but it was constantly successful. V'cherev Shaul osa shuv reikom. And the sword of Shaul didn't return empty. It could also mean that even when he fought with Klal Yisrael, and there were people that, lo aleinu, that there were people who were getting killed left and right, but he was able to persevere in battle. Even if there were Dam Chalolim, and there were Chelev Giborim, and there were Yidden who were being killed, but Yehoinasan was able to continue the battle, and Shaul continued the battle, and they didn't turn back. Shaul v'Yehoinasan. Shaul and Yehoinasan. Hane'ahovim v'hane'imim b'chayehem. They were beloved, and they were pleasant in their life. Uv'mosam lo nifrodu. And in their death, they didn't separate. Minasharim kalu, they were lighter than the eagles. They were fast. Me'aroyos goveru, and they were stronger and more courageous than the lions. We have in the last few prakim, of course, the focus has always been on the fact that Shaul's been after David, and Yehoinasan was such good friends of David. And Shaul was upset with the way Yehoinasan was willing to surrender the throne to David. But here we see that Hane'ahovim v'hane'imim v'chayehem, they were beloved and they were pleasant in their life. The Mefarshim say, meaning Shaul and Yehoinasan themselves were very close. And even though they had their differences, especially about Shaul, and there were times that about David, and Shaul spoke to him very, very harshly. But we had, for instance, in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof, the following pasuk: Yehoinathan said to David, "Vayomer lo chalila lo samus." I'm positive that David will not be killed by Shaul. Hine lo yase avi dover gadol o dover katan. My father won't do any great matter or any trivial matter. Dover gadol o dover katan v'lo yiglas ozni, without telling me. In other words, Shaul confided in Yehoinathan everything. They were very close. It was almost like two Talmidei Chachamim who would debate a matter in Gemara and Halacha, and they feel so angry at each other because the other person is saying such a wrong Sevara, so terribly wrong. But there's an inner love and an inner bond. And over here, Shaul felt that Yehoinathan is making such a terrible mistake befriending David. David is so terrible, and Yehoinathan is getting caught up with the wrong crowd. And Yehoinathan felt, of course, that this was his job, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from him, to support the Malchus Beis David. But inside, there were Ne'ovim Van'imi V'chayim. They had a closeness, as I say, Shaul would confide everything to Yehoinathan. They were beloved and they were pleasant in their lifetime. Uva Mosim Lo Nifrodo, and even in their death, they didn't separate, they were on the same battlefield, and they were aware of what each other was going through. Shaul knew what was happening to Yehoinathan, and Yehoinathan knew what was happening with Shaul. Even though Minasharim Kalu, they were lighter than eagles, and we can imagine the battlefront spread, and there was the east front and the west front, and they're attacking on this flank and on that flank. And they were running all over the battlefield, and it was an intense struggle. Me'aroyus kabeiru, and they were mightier than lions. But they didn't get caught up in the heat of the battle and forget of each other. But they were mosim lo nifrodu. In their death, they didn't separate, and they were aware of each other and close with each other. Rashi brings down lasos ritzon borum, that they served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a general description of their avodas Hashem. Of course, we say this in the Avarachmim Tefillah about all the communities that were destroyed, especially in this season, the weeks of Sfira by the Crusades. But they were lighter than eagles and more courageous than lions. They were willing. They gave everything they had. They gave everything they had to do the Ratzon of Hashem. It could be in terms of Klal Yisrael. Shaul and Yehoinathan to Klal Yisrael, they were beloved and they were pleasant in their lifetime. Or it's people looked at them as, and as that they were the leaders of the people, but they were people, and they cared for the people, and they were beloved by Klal Yisrael. They loved their leaders, Shaul and Yehoinathan. Uvamosim lo nifrodo, until the very end, they showed that bond and that caring and responsibility for Klal Yisrael to the moment of death. Klal Yisrael was defeated in battle, but they stood there fighting. Uvamosim lo nifrodo, they were loyal to Klal Yisrael and beloved to the end. Benos Yisrael, daughters of Klal Yisrael, al Shaul b'cheno, cry about what happened to Shaul. It could be the Gemara says by Noshim Dimosan Mitsuya Yoser, women cry more easily. That's why it's a chiyuv to be more, especially the husband's got to be more careful how he deals with them. That's what it says. But Benos Yisrael, al Shaul b'cheno, the daughters of Klal Yisrael should cry about Shaul, and their crying is more. It's easier for them to be stirred to tears. So he addresses himself to them. The daughters should cry about what happened to Shaul. Some say that the truth is, a lot of the problems that started between Shaul and David were attributed to the women who went dancing in the circles, and they said, Hika Shaul ba'alofa v'David b'ribavoso. Shaul killed his thousands, and David kills his tens of thousands. So now David's turning to them and he's saying, Benos Yisrael, you should cry over what happened to Shaul. Because what's been the fact that you sang this song and you helped bring about whatever kino, whatever jealousy there was, they should cry over what happened. But the Navi says the simple meaning, why are the Benos Yisrael crying? Till now we discussed about the personal, the loyalty and the qualities and the greatness of Shaul and Yonasan and what they meant to the people. About, now it's addressing them more. People should view it on their personal loss. It's like those who gave Hespedim use the expression Bechula Velen, cry for the mourners below La Veda, not for the one who's lost. Shehula Minucha, because when somebody's nifter, he's going to his resting place. He put in a lifetime of work and Avodas Hashem and Torah and Mitzvahs, and now he's getting his reward. So of course it's a loss that he can't do more Torah and Mitzvahs. But the one who's nifter, he's going to his eternal reward. But v'heim la'anocha, the mourners are left with the grief that they're missing that person that they cared for. Now he's addressing the women. Besides Shaul's greatness, but look at the loss for you. Cry about the loss of those that are left behind. Hamal bishchem shani, he dressed you in scarlet. Im adonim, with either delicacies or with fancy clothing. Hamala adizov alavushchen, he caused it to place golden jewelry on your clothing. It seems to be kind of trivial. We're talking here about the loss of Shaul and Yonasan. We're talking here that he brought back the jewelry and the clothing. But it's interesting. There's a Gemara that says in Tainus, a well-known Gemara. The last Gemara in Tainus discusses on Tu B'Av. The women would go out dancing, and shidduchim were arranged at that time. And the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Yifithiyo Shebehen Mahayu Omros. Those that were beautiful, what did they say when they went dancing? They said, Tanui Nechem Liyofi. They would tell that the men should put their eyes to beauty, Sheinu Ishel Liyofi. Because a woman's only for beauty. Which seems a little strange, but that's what it says. Miyuchotzel Shebehen, those that had a good yichus, that came from a distinguished lineage, Mahi Omos, what would they say? Tnoi Nechem Mishpacha, give your eyes to the family. Shein Yishel Labonim, because a wife is to have children, and therefore you should look at the wife's family. Mechuaros Shebehen Mahi Omos, what would those who were ugly, what did they say? Kachum Mechem L'shem Shemayim, they should take a wife L'shem Shemayim, but as long as you give us ornaments, gold and jewelry. So, Pasha, the Yafifios, the beautiful ones would say, give your eyes to beauty, Shein Ishel Yofi. The Gemara says in Yavamas, that talks about Rav and Rav Chia, whatever, they had wives that gave them a hard time, and one of them commented that it's enough shemegadlos b'neinu matzilos osanu min acheit, that l'maisa, they raise our children and they save us from averus, from sinning. So sheinu yishel liyofi means that if a person has a beautiful wife, he won't be distracted by other women. Sheinu yishel liyofi means you should have beauty for a husband and she saves him from averus. Those that had a good yichus mentioned, because a woman is for the children. And interestingly, Rashi mentions, I would have thought it means that she'll be able to raise the children well, the children will have a nice environment from the wife's family. But Rashi says, if your children have a good yichus, that'll be easier later on in life to marry them off. So he said, if the woman comes from a miyuchosus, nika mishpacha, it'll be easier for shidduchim later. So he should marry for that. And the others said, mechuaro shebehen would say, kachum ekchem l'shem shamayim, marry whoever you're going to marry l'shem shamayim, even though she doesn't have these qualities, but you should give us jewelry. Rashi says, really it's not related, because everyone else is saying reasons why they should get married, and here Vilvachet Atrin V'Zehuvim is not a reason why they should marry them. But the Ben Yehoyada explains as follows. He says, if somebody marries a wife who's beautiful, she would expect to get jewelry because she comes from a background that is expected. She has a higher standard of living. If she's beautiful, so she expects the jewelry because she's probably more pampered and have an easier lifestyle, and she expects that. And if she comes from a better family, and there's a brisa that says, by the way, if somebody came from a wealthy family, that say, Tenu Einechem B'momon, the Ein Yaakov brings down, that life would be easier if he marries into a wealthy family. So a person should look at that Maila. But so each one mentions the Maila that the person would have in the Shidduch. The Mechu'aro say that sometimes, you know, marry us, but it should be L'shem Shamayim. And if you marry us and you figure you won't have to give us jewelry, so then it won't be clear that it's L'shem Shamayim. Marry us as if we would have been beautiful or wealthy or from a chush of a family, and those are the women who expect jewelry. And if you treat us the same way, as if we would have had all of these milos, and you treat us the same way, it'll be clear that you're doing it L'shem Shamayim. But you see that there's an Indian of Vivad Shita Truni Vizahuvim that it means a lot. It means a lot to a woman. There's a Gemara that says in the Doran, another Gemara, in Daf Samach Vov, somebody had made a neder that he wasn't going to marry his niece because he didn't find her attractive. So the Gemara says over there, a guy made a neder that he wasn't going to have any hanor from his niece, and he wasn't going to marry her. They brought her into the house of Rabbi Shmuel, and he made her more beautiful. The words of Shachi was missing a tooth, and he got her a gold tooth, or he got her other clothing. Amalo Rabbi Shmuel, Bini Mizuna Darta. From a woman like this, you wouldn't marry. You made a neder not to have hana. Amar lo lav, and he said no. Bitzirur Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said, obviously your neder was a mistake. You said you weren't going to marry her, and now that you see that she's beautiful, you would marry her. So the whole neder was a mistake. At that time, Rabbi Shmuel cried and he said, "Benos Yisrael knows, saying the Jewish daughters are beautiful. El shoha anius min avalton, but sometimes the poverty." It could be poverty, it could be malnutrition, it could be the anius makes them ugly. Uchshameis Rabbi Yishmael, when Rabbi Yishmael died, ho yubenos Yisrael nosos kina. The benos Yisrael would lament. V'omros, and they said, benos Yisrael al Rabbi Yishmael b'chena. The Jewish daughters, you should cry about Rabbi Yishmael. This was obviously not the only time he did it, but when he saw somebody that was in need of that, he took an interest and saw to it that she was made more attractive. Our pasuk, and so it says by Shol, the Jewish daughter should cry about Shol. Meaning, it's really not. In other words, Benos Yisrael Shol Bechena. What David is saying in this kina is that David cared for everyone, and he took a special interest in the Benos Yisrael. And when he went out to war, he saw to it. And as he brought back a lot of spoils from the war, and he saw to them that they had finery and they were dressed nicely, and that first of all would help them get shiduchim. Some Forsha mentioned in terms of, in general, the men would go to battle and the plishtim had their women go out to war to distract and to cause the men to sin. Shol saw to it that the Jewish wives at home should be attractive, that the men should not be attracted to anyone else. See, even though it sounds very mundane, and here we're talking about a national calamity, we're talking about all these psukim about how Shol and Yonasur were killed, Alba Musecha, and here we're talking about he got jewelry, he got finery. But the truth is, it's all part of, it's all a shame shemaim, it all has its place in Avodas Hashem. The Radak brings down this pshat, he brings down a medrash, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Yehuda says, Benos Yisrael is that the Jewish daughter should cry about the loss of Shol. Because when the men went out to battle, he saw to it that they had what to live on. Sometimes when the war is going on and the man's away from home, who's taking care of the family? Shol, when he went out with his army, he made sure that the army was cared for. He fed them and he supported them and he made sure that they had proper clothing. And im adonim means with good clothing, because In other words, because a person, if he doesn't eat well, and so all the jewelry doesn't help if the person's suffering from malnutrition, but he took care of them. And Rav Nechemya says, Benos Yisrael, the Jewish daughters here, is not, it means the Sanhedrin. It's referring to the Jewish Sanhedrin, the courts. And they should cry about Sheol. What does it mean he put the ornaments on them? If he would hear a Tam Halacha, Yotzeis Mipi Tamar Chacham, when he heard somebody say a Devar Torah, somebody said a correct reason in Halacha, Hayomed Venoshko Alpiv, he stood up and he gave him a kiss on his mouth. He had such a simcha when he saw somebody learning and somebody with a correct understanding in Torah. And that encouragement and that support is the reason why the Benos Yisrael should cry, which Rav Nechemya says, Benos Yisrael meaning the Talmid HaChachamim, those who are on the Sanhedrin, those that are on the courts, because Sheol took such a care for them. Eich noflu giboyrim. How is it that the giboyrim fell b'soch hamilchoma in the battle? In the battle, everyone's on high alert. They're not. It's a person doesn't usually fall by accident. He's fully alert. He's b'soch hamilchoma, and here the giboyrim died in that situation. Yehonah's son. And now David's focusing on Yehonah. So we spoke about Sheol, and we spoke about how the Jewish daughters have a special Hakaras HaToyv to Sheol. But now David's going to talk about Yehonah's son. Yehonah's son, Albomo Secha Cholo. Yehonah's son, on your high places, on the mountains, Chol, Yehonah's son fell dead. Tsar li Olecha, I'm very distressed about you. Ochi Yehonasan, my brother Yehonasan, like a brother. I'm very distressed about what happened. No amta li ma'oi, you were very pleasant to me. Nifla'asa ahavos chali, it was more wondrous, the love that you had for me, me'avas noshim, more than the love of women. And there's a number of different pshatim on that. The Targum says, your love is more wondrous, me'avas noshim, that David was saying more than the wives that he had. In other words, the love that Yehonasan demonstrated to him was greater than the wives Abigail and Achinoam that David had. In other words, Yehonasan, there were different times when David HaMelech's wives put their life at stake for him. Michal, for instance, some say it's going on Michal, who was Sheol's daughter, risked their life to save David's life, and David's wives traveled around and went into Golis with him. But Yehonasan was willing to, the fact that Yehonasan was willing to incur his father's wrath and defend David, even though he knew right after Sheol threw the spear at David, and he took up and he defended David, that's more wondrous than the love that David's wives had for him. Some learn Me'avas Noshim, that the love that a woman has for her husband or for her children is a very strong love. And very often they put up with a lot that they shouldn't have to. But they put up with their husbands and with their children. That's why he says, their avas chazak alahem. So as I'm going to see the Lashon of the Ralbag, he discusses what sometimes the women tolerate. But they put up with a lot. And it's unbelievable, the Abba, that a woman, she has a deeper love than the men feel. But they're able, they have a strong love and a bonding in their relationships and their caring. Women excel in that. And yet the dedication of Yehonasan was more wondrous than that. Another pshat is, Me'avas Noshim, if there be a man who has two wives, they're what called soros, they're competition. A man has two wives, and the two wives each have a competitor, and the normal thing is that they hate each other. The tzara. If the two get along together, that would be a big chiddush. That would be a wonder, that the two wives get along. The love of Yehonasan is greater than that, because Yehonasan wasn't an equal with David, and he wasn't on a level, it wasn't like two equals competing for the throne. Yehonasan had the throne. He was the son of the king. And he was willing to give up all of that for David. So it's more wondrous than if there was Avas Noshim, two women who were able to love each other even though they're in competition. That was the dedication that Yehonasan had to David.
Eich noflu giboirim.
How did the giboirim fall? Vayovdu klei milchoma, and the weapons of battle were lost. Now, he started off the kina talking about both of them, talking about the giboirim. This is a phrase that's mentioned a few times. We had in Pasuk Yutes, the beautiful Eretz Yisrael on the high places, how did the giboirim fall? And then a few psukim later, it mentioned in Chof Hey, Eich Noflu Giboirim, how did the Giboirim fall in the battle? And again, now he's summing it up, Eich Noflu Giboirim Vayovdu Klei Melchama. He focuses on both of them, he focuses on Shaul and Yehonasan separately, now he focuses again, he ends off the keen on both of them. How did the Giboirim fall, Vayovdu Klei Melchama? And the weapons of battle were lost. Because the weapons of Klal Yisrael, as Rashi says, Shovi honotzen shahoyu klei zayin shal Yisrael. The weapons of Klal Yisrael are leaders, tzaddikim, like Shaul and Yohinasan. It's like Elisha said when Elio left him, he said, Ovi, Ovi, Rechav Yisrael uparoshov. My father, the chariot of Klal Yisrael, uparoshov, and like the cavalry. That Elio Anovi is the great defender of Klal Yisrael. That's the weapons of Klal Yisrael. Now, Eich Noflu Giboirim, how did the Giboirim fall? By Yovdu Klei Melchama. And the weapons of war, Klal Yisrael's defense is lost. This is the end of the Kina. We can be assured that there were many Hespedim said. There was Hespedim, and they were crying, and we learned they fasted for a day. And this short Kina is recorded in the Novi as a lesson, the way David... First of all, the way you see, David cared for Shaul and for Yehonasan, even though Shaul was his opponent. But the way he valued the loss and he appreciated what a tremendous loss it was for Klal Yisrael and how upset David was about this. And now this is the end of Shaul. This is the end of the kingdom of Shaul. And now with Perek Beis, it moves on to the Malchus, where David HaMelech is accepted as the king, and Malchus based David will be on the rise. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.